各位投资人，大家好，很抱歉让大家等了那么久的时间。那我们今天，本金高尔夫 HOMA 2020财年的全年业绩分析师会现在就开始了。Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for time this evening to attend the HOMA Golf FY 2020 Annual Results Analyst Meeting. So in order to record this meeting for later reviews of our other investors from other parts of the world, we will be conducting this meeting tonight in English. So thank you for your understanding.
Hello, everyone. My name is Veronica. I'm the CFO of HOMA Golf. I'll be the presenter tonight. And as you could see from the share screen, we have prepared an annual results deck as we usually do. And let me take you through the key slides and also highlights from the last financial year. Okay, so this is the usual opening slide. I think most of you know that we got listed in Hong Kong in October 2016. I think the share price performance has been not very great. So currently the overall market cap is about 2 billion Hong Kong dollars. In terms of the sales revenue from last year, we have reported a comparable sales decline of 13.9%, primarily because of the COVID-19 impact. However, I think on this slide, we have listed out the revenue mix by product category, by region, as well as by channel. I think for those of you who has followed our stock since 2016, you will see quite some changes in terms of revenue contribution by product, revenue contribution by region, as well as by channel. So directionally, we have seen an increasingly larger revenue contribution from balls and apparels, increasingly larger revenue contribution from markets outside Japan, as well as a much larger revenue contribution, let's say, from wholesale channels. And slide four is a high-level snapshot of the financial results for the last financial year. As we said early on, let's say sales declined by 14% year-on-year, or 13.9% comparably. In terms of the net profit margin, it remained above the water, even though, let's say, we have seen quite a sharp decline as compared to the year before, which we will delve into later on. Because of the negative net profit for the year ended on March 31st, 2020, the reported earnings per share is also negative, but net operating cash flow has remained positive. I think we will be telling you, let's say, in greater details about the COVID-19 impact on the company's results. But in general, from the February onwards, I think protecting the employees' health and also the overall financial soundness of HOMA has become one of the top priorities of HOMA. And then in terms of the net cash position, we're about $20 million. Gross cash is about $100 million as at the end of March 31st, 2020. And then on dividend, we have already made a special dividend in June last year, followed by an interim dividend in December 2019. I think for the current financial year, despite the less satisfactory financial results, we have proposed to the board, and the board has so approved that we will make a further and final dividend distribution of 1.5 JPY per share. And together with this, the dividend yield for the last financial year will be around 35%. And I think this slide gives you, let's say, a high-level impression of how COVID-19 affects the business of HOMA. I think for most of the other company who actually had their financial year ended in December, I think they would either have not disclosed the COVID-19 impact, or is on the, let's say, on the path to recover the COVID-19 impact. But for HOMA, because our financial year ends in March 2020, and because, let's say, the Q4 of our financial year is loaded with the new product launches, I think the impact is a lot more severe than what you have normally seen from other companies. So when COVID-19 started to stuck China in end of January 2020, what was first affected was our supply base, especially those suppliers that are based out of China. And in February, we have seen retail coming to standstill in Korea, in China, which continue all the way into March. And for the company, I think the supply chain was completely disrupted from March onwards because retail started to shut down in Europe and US. And also we had great tremendous amount of difficulties to ship products to markets outside of Japan. To some extent, the local custom have even stopped shipments that has arrived at the destination. But I think as we always say, every dark cloud has a silver lining. I think what we have seen onwards, especially into April and May, is a very strong sales recovery in Asian markets, especially Taiwan, China, and Korea. I think between April and May, sales in China has almost doubled. Sales in Korea grew by close to 20%, and sales in Taiwan grew by 50%. All reacting from, let's say, the negative impact that we have experienced in the last quarter of the financial year. So this slide, basically tells you the highlights of the year in spite of the unsatisfactory financial results. So first and foremost, by market, we have seen a very good finish for Korea and also for Europe for the last financial year. I think when you look at the last year's sales from a product category point of view, Ball did perform very well, grew by 22% for the last financial year. In terms of apparel, we marginally grew the sales by 0.7%. And we need to be mindful here is that the COVID-19 impact was the most severe on China. And the retail was shut for almost the entire February and March. But when you look outside China, in fact, the sales of apparel grew by close to 50% in Japan and almost by 1.2 times in Korea. And then, in the first half of last year, we have reprioritized our club offering by focusing on the premium and also the super premium, two product categories. I think these two strategy has paid off in the US and Europe in spite of the COVID-19 impact. You have seen that the Tour World sales grew by 50% and also 73% in these two markets. And the Tour World products is primarily designed for the better players, if you will. And most of these players are, pervading in the US and also Europe. I think the fact that we were able to, in spite of the pandemic, grew full-year sales of the super premium category by close to 10%, and by the Toro family, in US and also Europe, the two most relevant markets, is a confirmation in our view of the chosen product strategy. And in the course of last year, we have also added 188 POS globally. This included both self-operated stores and also third-party retail outlets. And also digitally, we have fully expanded our presence in China, but also moved from China to go into markets in Japan and also in the US. And I think these digital journey has contributed to the strong sales recovery in Asia between April and May. Now, before we move into the business overview, I wanted to pause on this slide. As we will move into the deck, we will be talking about the mobile vans strategy that we implemented in the US. So this is a sort of a very unique distribution model that we are implementing in the US. It has a few benefits, I think, for a new brand into the US market. First and foremost, it does not require a lot of capital, to implement. And secondly, it is not, conditional upon the willingness of the golf clubs and also the retail sales points to open their shelf space to us. And we have implemented from January onwards 9 mobile vans in 9 states of United States. I think it's a pity that we were not able to show you a better result because of COVID, but we are comfortable that we will be putting these vans onto the road from July onwards. And we also have the intention to increase the total number of vans to 19. I think from the subsequent slides, you will also see how greatly the aided awareness of the HomeUp brand has improved in the US. I think the mobile van strategy has been a very, very important part of that journey. So I think the growth strategy is something that we have been talking about for a while. I think it's basically, let's say, a combination of the core brand value, which is based on Japanese craftsmanship and also premium performance of the products. Let's say it's a match with the redefined consumer and also product focus. I think we wanted to drive consistent and also profitable revenue growth by product, by channel, but also by continuously nurturing consumer awareness and loyalty. Now, if we move to the next slide, I think this is a slide that we have briefly talked about in the first half results release. I think this is a from to, just to help you understand the changes that we are making to our product positioning. So we used to have three product lines targeting affluent consumers, avid consumers, and also the beginners. I think from there, we are convening onto a two-pronged product strategy, which is focusing on what we are best at, super premium, with the legacy product called Veris, and the premium performance segment with an expanded tour wall product offering. So now very briefly, I think we mentioned about how negatively COVID-19 has affected the full year sales, and in particular, the Q4 launches of the new products. But when you look down the details, I think you see that for the focus areas, Veris and also Tour World, full year sales of Veris went up by 9.3% and second by 42.3%. And the Tour World family, even though it was launched in or started to be launched from February onwards, and therefore greatly affected because of the COVID-19, we have seen, let's say, sales up by 51% in the US, and also sales up by 73% in Europe. These two countries, let's say, was the latest on that COVID time horizon. I think retail started to shut down from mid of March onwards, and therefore we are still able to see the benefit of the products being launched in February. I think Bizio, as we mentioned in the first half results, it was phased out or actually defocused. It's no longer part of the regular product offering, and full year sales was down by 64%, which was the other reason that contributed to the full year growth. So in a very simple manner, we completely phased out the old products as well as Bizio from the product offering, but we were not able to exit the year with a fully launched, let's say, Veris and also Tour World. Now, next slide is about the golf balls. I think from 2016, the year that we got listed, we have seen a compound growth rate of 51%, primarily through, let's say, a product series of 2, 4, and 6-piece balls. I think last year, Japan continued to grow and being followed by Korea, where we have put together a dedicated local team, built out distributions, back the distributorship from our long-term partner, Colon. We do feel that the what we have invested this far into the product and also into the channel will continue to fuel growth into this year. Now, apparel. We mentioned that the overall sales growth was marginal, 0.7%. But you know, when you look down on the country axis, you will see that Japan's apparel sales grew by 19%. Yeah, sales grew by 1.3 times. So we continue with our earlier, let's say, product line definition. So we have a black label, we have a red label, and we also have a white label. The black label is very premium, aesthetic, focuses very much on material and also design. The red label is for golfers, let's say, on the course. So it's high performance, high tech, fully functional. The white label is basically something that, you know, golfer and non-golfer can both wear, in that it's very modern, very active, and yet very, very fashionable. I think we have not been able to present you with, let's say, the full benefits of the relaunched apparel series. But we are, let's say, hopeful that with the recovery in China and also in Korea in April and May, I think by the time when we exit the year, we will be able to present you a much better, let's say, overall sales outlook on the apparel business. Now, on the retail point expansion. So last year, the total number of self-operated stores increased by 11 to 79. Newly opened 25 stores, of which about half is in China, two in Japan, three in the US, and six in Korea and also Taiwan. In addition to that, we have launched a mobile van, as we have just mentioned. We currently have 9 vans covering 9 states. We will be increasing this to 14 states by late summer, in depending on the situation in the US. And in terms of the third-party retailers, I think we continue to add a number of POS, and the total number of POS increased by 177. And most of the increases came from the US and also Europe. Now, the next two slides, let's say, focuses on what we have been doing in terms of marketing, in terms of our digital ecosystem. We mentioned earlier that we have rebuilt our e-commerce platforms in China, in the US, and also to some extent in Japan. We have also recreated or revamped our CRM system in most of the key markets in order to create a very direct-to-consumer distribution model. I think, let's say, whatever the consumer can see, let's say, in the offline shops, they could see online, on our social media, all these efforts were meant to cement a stronger awareness of the brand, of the product, as well as consumer loyalty. So I think this slide basically gave you an example of, let's say, the social media account and also the WeChat account that we have relaunched. I think just in the US itself, we have seen close to 500,000 site visits, let's say, in the last financial year. And this number was barely 10,000-20,000 per annum before we relaunched these sites. For us, these sites are very, very useful and also important touch points between us and our consumers. And we are using this more and more to basically analyze consumer behaviors, preferences, but also to track sales. The last, let's say, key pillar of our overall consumer journey is the consumer events. In the last financial year, we have hosted altogether 4,329 custom days. I think a majority of these custom days happen in, I think in Japan, we mostly host 2-3 events per year. And then in the US, this is average about, let's say, 1-2 events per year. So in Japan, it's 2-3 events per day. And in the US, this is about 1-2 events per day. So all these events have greatly helped us to build a stronger, let's say, tie with our consumers, and also to move into the younger consumer segments now that, let's say, the golf population has become younger and younger. And let's say in the US, we have done a very recent consumer study before COVID-19 came up. In January, we have altogether surveyed close to 2,000 consumers. And within that pool of consumers, the aided awareness of the HOMA brand has increased to 63%. And this percentage was less than 6% in a year ago. So all of the things that we are doing, I think on the mobile van, on the elevated store presence, and also on the social media, are helping us to get greater consumer awareness and also recognition. Okay, so the next few slides will, let's say, basically touch upon the key markets one by one. I think versus Japan, still contributing to 46% of the revenue. I think last year, sales performance was the least satisfactory one since HOMA was listed. So overall sales came down by 24%, primarily because of the club sales drop by 31%. So Japan was mostly affected by COVID because we were not able to ship materials to Japan for manufacturing, let's say, since the end of February because of Chinese New Year and then because of the pandemic. And then from February onwards, I think the retail operation started to come to a standstill By the end of March, we have half of the store being shut, and most of our third-party retailer store, either having no traffic or being shut, forced to shut. So Japan was most affected. And having said that, I think we have seen very strong, sales results from golf balls and also from apparels, primarily because of the greater than expected sales performance all the way up to February. And Korea, I think Korea is the second largest market for HomeMart right now. It contributed to about 24% of the top line. Last year, overall sales grew by 14%, primarily thanks to a golf ball, which was up 11.7%, and also thanks to the golf users. So Korea is perhaps the only country which has seen all, firing. And this is a very, very interesting and also important for HomeMart going forward. And China, I think last year, the combined results of China, which they grew by 24%, is a combination or attributed to, China itself was, was affected because of the pandemic. China itself came down by 20%, and Hong Kong, because of the situation that we are all familiar, sales came down by 60%. So these two combined sales. Looking forward, we are very, very hopeful of a healthy recovery in China and for Hong Kong. I think the full year sales outlook will depend a lot on how the current social unrest will continue to evolve, and whether it will cause more damages to the retail landscape in Hong Kong. US. So the overall sales, improved in the second half. You have seen, some full year sales decline, but second half results was up in terms of Paris, up by 17.9%. TW, I think because of the new product launches in January and also February, where US was not yet affected, full year sales went up by 51%. And in terms of our direct to consumer model, I think we are ready. I think in a very simple way, we are ready until COVID-19 hit us and very hard. I think we are now reacting states where mobile vans are recommitted. We are also reassessing the 43 shopping shops that we have elevated or renovated in the course of last year, so as to make the best out of the investments that were already made. So this is, again, a recap of the U.S. distribution strategy. I think it's very much pivoted against the direct-to-consumer model. I think we chose this model instead of spending millions of dollars on online advertisement, because we felt this is the shortcut to our consumers, but also to own the consumer experience and also journey by ourselves, rather than relying on retailers that are used to frequent product launches. Europe, I think Europe performed quite well. Overall sales grew by 15% on the back of the 20% growth in the clubs. I think the total number of POS increased as well. The net increase is about 22. There are also, closures. The closures are primarily a continued effort to cut the tail. So we have a program which is in place for all of the markets to phase out the low performance POS on an annual basis. So the last, 10% of the POS do get cut, on an annual basis. So there will be additions and also reductions of our POS, as always. Now, financial results. I think this basically shows you the revenue development in the last 3 years, as well as the development in operating profit, gross margin, and also net operating profit. SG&A, I think here to the left, you have seen how SG&A has grew last year as a result of the sales decline and also the value increase in the overall, primarily because of personnel cost increase in the US and also for the new business. I think to the right, you have seen, let's say, the breakdown of the SG&A basically into employee benefits, into A&P, administrative expenses, other rental, and depreciation of right of use assets. So last year, we have adopted IFRS 16, which has caused a reclass of our rental contracts as if they were capital leases. So you have seen a reduction in the rental expenses, but also an increase in other selling expenses, which are basically a depreciation of right of use. But the overall, let's say, P&L impact is rather minimal. So it's a basically reclass of the two SG&A items. Now, on the balance sheet side, I think, say, last year we have seen a sharp reduction in the net operating cash flow, but we remain positive, which is very, very important, I think, in difficult times like this. The interest-bearing liability increased primarily because of our continued effort to tap into the low interest rate borrowings in Japan, while effective tax rate remained high. The net gearing has increased by, let's say, 30% to 40% after the special dividend payment in 2019, September 2019. And the overall cash on hand is about 110 million US dollar. So this is about the working capital. So we have seen an increase of 17 days of our receivable days towards the end of last year. The payable days increased by 24 days because of the continued supplier management improvements. Within inventory, we have seen a divergent developments, let's say within the three buckets of inventories. Raw material came down, work in progress more or less stay stable, and finished goods has increased sharply by 40 plus days. I think we have mentioned earlier that we were almost chasing for the entire February raw material supply from China and also from the rest of Asia, but we were not able to completely ship out the new products in March itself because of the social distancing and also lockdown being implied or being imposed by the respective governments. Now, on the outlook, I think first and foremost, we wish that we could give you an outlook for, let's say, the current financial year. I think one of the reasons why we gave you an update of the results in April and in May is to help you quantify the impact that we have experienced let's say, or suffer for last year because of COVID. And also because of the same reason, we are not able to give you a very reliable guidance for the year to come. But I think overall, I think what we are doing right now and will continue to do in the course of 2021, will be first and foremost to recover sales as much as we can. I think we are very confident that the Japan, I think, will also soon join, let's say, the rest of the Asian countries and see, let's say, decent sales recoveries. I think we will intensify our digital efforts. I think this is almost becoming the new norm now. We do think that let's say, the offline retail point of sales will go through a very long-term and also structural change to suit the new norm. So I think all the efforts that we are making on the digital, let's say, space will pay off eventually. We also, let's say, seen that the, let's say, the demand for the high-end consumer goods have remained resilient. This is once again being confirmed by the nice sales recoveries that we have seen in Asia. So this is also something that we feel very comfortable about. I think for US and also for Europe, we will continue on the current, let's say, growth, let's say, strategy, but we will cautiously evaluate our investment so that we will protect our cash, we will protect our financial statements, balance sheet, and also our P&L. At the same time, let's say, preserving the opportunity for future growth once the pandemic impact is completely diminished. So that brings me to the end of today's presentation, and I'm going to make a pause here just in case that you have questions.
Thank you very much, Veronica, for a very detailed and informative introduction and go through of the deck. So so for our participants, hope you are still with us. And if you have any question, please raise your hand through a button on Zoom, or if you're calling in through the dialing numbers, you can also tell the MC that you have a question. And yes, we will then, you can also type in the Zoom in the message window if you wish. Thank you very much.
大家如果有任何问题的话，都可以随时在 Zoom 下面有一个举手的 button， 可以按一下，让我们知道，或者您可以直接在对话框里面输入您的问题。好的，如果大家在稍后的时间，在更多的看了公司业绩有更多问题的话，欢迎随时联系公司的 IR， 那我们的这个 email 就在屏幕上 ir@homa.hk， 或者可以联系我们的公关公司伟大财经。那大家这边啊，我们有一个问题。Joanne， 你这边的声音可能有点回声。哎，然后你这边可以打字吗？因为你这里好像有回声。
哎，对。可以，麻烦。
啊，这边有回声。
对，请问可以把那个我们在北美市场的那个发展，可以再详细的说多一点整体的那个发展的安排吗？
好的，那个就是北美的业务的发展，其实在第二十页开始有一些表述。那从北美本身的这个战略来说，它是 HOMA 继欧洲以后就是大力开发的第二个新市场。那针对北美市场，在过去的一年半将近两年的时间，公司是第一个是组建了一个非常专业的一个新的各团队，团队里的这些职业经理人都是从其他知名的高尔夫球的品牌来，都非常了解美国的市场。那第二个是说针对这个北美市场制定了一个自己的一个渠道的一个战略。那无论是我们去年就是重新去就是 elevate 的这些 in-store 的 presence， 还是说我们从九月以后开始去实施的这个 mobile van strategy， 其实都是为北美市场单独去做出的一个渠道的一个投入或者是一个布局。那因为我们在过去的一年半时间在跟这个北美的这个主要的零售商合作过程当中，发现就对于一个新品牌来说，要完全赢得市场的这个认可还是需要一个时间。那可能最短的接触这个消费者的时间一个 shortcut 就是说跟消费者就是通过产品发生很多的互动，这也就带来了就是我们这个 mobile 的 strategy 带来了我们这个整个的一个 digital ecosystem 的一个 rebuild。 那就是我刚才也提到这个针对北美市场的这个大部分用户的这个产品本来是计划二月份推出，那在去年的上半年我们也针对这个老一代的产品做了一个退市的一个工作。那在二月份就是我们一切都准备待续的时候这个疫情之后的影响就是影响了我们的 supply chain 亚洲的，之后又影响到了北美市场的这个产品的一个上市，所以是一切都准备待续的情况下突然发生了这个疫情。所以去年的北美市场它的这个业绩表现不好，疫情是有一个蛮大的一个影响的一个作用。那从目前的情况来说，北美的这个销售还是处于一个停顿的一个状态。但是我们自己的判断是从七月初开始，这个无论是这个零售网点还是我们的这个大篷车都可以开始恢复营业。那我们也希望在明年结束的时候能够给到投资人一个和分析师一个相对完整的一个全年的一个业绩的一个表现。那在这个今年的这一个就是增长计划的一个执行当中，可能跟去年不一样的是说我们会更加谨慎的对待这个投资，能够保存就是公司的这个现金，包括就是提高我们的这个营运的这个现金流入。
谢谢 Joanne 的问题。那大家如果暂时没有问题的话，我们今天晚上的这个分析师会就到此结束了。大家之后有任何后续的问题可以随时和我们联系。 Okay, thank you very much for your time this evening. If you have any further question after this meeting, please feel freeto contact us at ir@homa.hk or at our financial PR, Helen Norton, anytime. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, and good night.